Okay, the first meeting of the Public Safety Policy and Finance will come to order. We've got a quorum, and we'll start out with a roll call of members.
Cornish?
Here.
Woodard?
Here.
Mullery? Gauthier? Grunhagen?
Here.
Hilty?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Kelly?
How do you do?
Kiefer?
Here.
Kreisel?
Here.
Leidiger?
Here.
Mariani? McDonald?
Here.
Moran?
Here.
Nornis? Slocum?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Okay, thank you, members. We don't have any minutes to approve, and so we're going to get right into introductions. And I think we'll, rather than worry about seniority or who gets introduced first, we're going to start with Representative Kreisel. Come right around and include the staff on the way around, right around to the end there, and then come around on the inside. Oh, we can start with Representative Keith. Yes, and then make sure you pronounce your last name the way you want it to be pronounced and loudly, and hopefully we'll all remember then. Because
hello, thank you, Chairman. I'm Andrea Kiefer, and I am from District 56B, which is mainly the Woodbury area, and I'm looking forward to working on this committee. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I should have told you, if you would like to give some of your background and maybe what's really important to you in brief in this session, that'd be fine too. What you do for a living and or have done if you're retired.
Thanks, thanks, Chairman, for letting me go first on this. I'm on a couple of other committees, education reform and commerce reform. Those are the things that are most important to my district, but this is a very important one as well. In fact, I find it interesting that I'm getting many emails regarding this committee. So looking forward to working on it and learning more. Thank you.
I'm John Kreisel. I represent District 57A, which is Cottage Grove, Newport, St. Paul Park, South St. Paul, and Great Cloud Island. I have a military background. I served in the Minnesota Army National Guard for 10 years, did a tour in Kosovo and Iraq. I have many friends that I served with that are police officers. I have a lot of friends in the law enforcement community, and it's a passion of mine, so I'm excited to be on this committee.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Ernie Leidiger, new representative. 34A, which is Western Carver County, Watertown, Waconia, that area. And I am a retired military officer in the Navy. I see there's a lot of us on this committee, a lot of troublemakers. And I am now in business. I'm married. I have three children. And I live on a little hobby farm south of Mayer. And I'm very happy to be on this committee. Thank you.
Glenn Grunhagen, House District 25A. That'd be Eastern Sibley and Le Sueur County. I own an independent insurance agency. Also served on the public school board for the last 16 years. Interesting thing from a judicial or from a criminal justice system, I did jail ministry for 13 years prior to being on the school board. And as I said in the previous committee meeting this year, I went to jail, but I didn't have to stay there. I got home and met, okay? But I have a strong interest in public safety and crime prevention, especially in terms of the rights of victims. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Joe McDonald from City of Delano, representing Wright County, and a freshman. I am a professional photographer, and I have to apologize. I have to leave early. I booked a gig months before I even got the nomination. So, Chairman, I have to leave early. We talked about this the other day, so my apologies. Anyway, I come from Delano. I have a photo studio there. I recently was the mayor for the last 4 years and on the council for 6 years in the City of Delano, and was on the Public Safety Committee for many of those years as well. So I have hopefully bring some of that knowledge and experience with me, and it's a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to working with the great committee and the state of Minnesota. So thank you.
OK,
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Tim Kelly. I represent District 28A, which is runs from Red Wing down to Wabasha down the River Valley. My wife Sue and I have four children, and one of the things I really enjoyed last session was serving on this this committee with a number of us here, because I felt like it was one of the more cohesive groups. I thought public safety is across the board an important issue, and it seems to me that we all kind of felt that way, so it was a fantastic experience. I look forward to working with everybody again.
I'm Dennis Verdon. I'm Republican Research.
Representative Bud Nornes from Fergus Falls, represent the west half of Otter Tail County. You're looking for, I've got 10 grandchildren, 3 grown children, a cat. And this is the first time I've been on this committee, so I look forward to being here and helping do good work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Kelby Woodard, and I represent District 25B, which is most of southern Scott County and northern Rice County, so it's from Belle Plaine down to Northfield. And my background is has been in criminal justice. I have a criminal justice degree, and my first job was with the U.S. Customs Service. So I served with U.S. Customs Service for a few years and then went to work for the Target Corporation, where I started catching shoplifters on the floors of Target stores, and ended up working my way up to Director of Global Security. So I handled all of the overseas operations for Target from a security standpoint. And about 6 years ago, left Target to form my own global security consulting company. And we handle everything from executive protection overseas to issues related to supply chain security, and really about everything in between. So this is a committee I'm very passionate about, and I'm very happy to be serving on it.
Mr. Chairman, good morning. Steve Smith, member of this committee, as well as the Judiciary Policy and Finance. I'm an attorney in private practice. I hear a lot of talk about jail time from some of my colleagues. I occasionally visit my clients in jail. If they had taken my advice, they wouldn't be there, but that's beside the point. And my primary interests are the two primary ones government has to see to first. That's public safety and justice.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Jeff Diebel. I'm an analyst and attorney in the nonpartisan House Research Department. And in addition to my duties at the legislature, I'm also a captain in the U.S. Army Reserve JAG Corps.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is John Hultquist. I'm the committee administrator for this committee. I'm new to the House of Representatives. I spent the last 20 years in the governor's office coordinating the appointments the governor makes to judgeships and state boards and commissions.
And good morning. I'm Tony Cornish. I represent Blue Earth, Faribault, and Waseca counties back home, and I'm currently the chief of police of Lake Crystal, the little community west of Mankato, about 15 miles. And I started out as a policeman and then a deputy sheriff and then a game warden for 22 years and retired and come back into my present job. I'm on legislative leave, so I don't look like a double dipper while I'm up here. I don't get paid for my job back home, just call back 1 hour a day and do some coordinating. And glad to have you all here, and look forward to working with you.
Mr. Chairman, I am Laura Larson, and I'm the committee legislative assistant.
And Mr. Chair, members, I'm Becky Perius. I'm an analyst and attorney with the Nonpartisan House Research Department.
Yeah. Good morning. My name is Gary Karger. I'm the fiscal analyst for the committee, nonpartisan.
Morning. My name is Kate Weeks. I'm with DFL Caucus Research.
Morning. I'm Joe Mullery. I'm the lead Democrat on this committee. I've been on it quite a few times in the past. I plan to always try to be late so that I miss the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the NRA. I noticed that the chair has dipped into my district in North Minneapolis to choose someone that got his education or grew up there until he got rich and moved to the suburbs.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rena Moran. I represent St. Paul, Summit U, Frogtown, North End, Mount Airy, Capitol Heights neighborhoods. I am right outside the Capitol. We can, like, touch this place here. I am really excited to be a part of this committee. My concerns is really around safe communities, crime prevention, but also ensuring that we are creating laws and policies that are fair and equitable, and that is not just about incarceration, but also it's about prevention and a lot of other pieces that we need to take into account with our young people.
Morning, Mr. Chair.
Morning.
I'm Bill Hilty. I represent District 8A, which consists of parts of Pine, Carlton, and St. Louis counties. I have served on this committee in the past under the chairmanship of Chairman Smith. Steve, I don't remember when that was exactly, but it's a while ago. And I'm happy to be back on the committee. One of my interests is that I have one of the major corrections institutions in the state in my district of Moose Lake, as well, of course, is not a, in the purview of this committee, but right next door is also MSOP, and I have over the years I had a lot of involvement in corrections and rehabilitation issues, and I'm happy to be here and talk more about them.
Hi, I'm Linda Slocum. I represent District 63B. I represent East Richfield, the eastern half, and East and Central Bloomington. I'm a school teacher. I teach 8th grade American history in the Minneapolis School District, and I've done that for many years, and I'm not double dipping either, because when you're in a classroom, you're in. You can't leave to go to a meeting or do anything. It really is difficult. So I go on leave to come to serve in the legislature. I'm most interested in domestic violence issues and sexual assault issues.
Good morning. I'm Sheldon Johnson. I represent Southeast St. Paul. I've worked in corrections, juvenile adult, and family court for the last 30-plus years. I am especially interested in community corrections issues and juvenile and adult probation services.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Carlos Mariani. I represent 65B, which is St. Paul. In fact, the capital is in my district, even though Rena lives closer to it than I do. But there are nights when you can catch me walking home from the capital after a long session. First of all, it's a pleasure to serve with you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cornish and I have served together for a number of years, and it's not a secret to say we don't always see eye to eye, but I have to say, quite honestly, I've enjoyed serving with you, and we've done some good work together on some small issues over the years, and I've always appreciated the respect that you've offered me as a member of the other party. I have not served on a public safety committee in the past. I've served on judiciary committees, which had a different incarnation or manifestation of these kind of issues, but it's been well over a decade since I've done that. As I was looking through the accounts, I was particularly pleased and interested to see that we carry the accounts for the Human Rights Department. I think it's critically important for a democracy to make sure that all citizens are free of discrimination, and so I'm real pleased to see that we'll be serving as good public servants of that important function of government. Look forward to working with all of you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. First of all, my apologies for being late. I'm Kerry Gothier from 7B, which is the western half of Duluth. My interest on this committee comes from experiences in drug and alcohol treatment and mental health, and specifically in the area of human trafficking, which is a subject that a lot of people don't want to talk about, which I think we need to address.
Well, thank you all. Now it comes time for the chairman's remarks for the next 3 hours. I've got some scattered thoughts here. That's probably how my mind operates sometimes. But I just wanted to address a number of issues. First of all, you never have to apologize in here for being late. First, John Wayne once said, never apologize. It's a sign of weakness. But but how I feel about it is we're so busy running to and fro and trying to answer emails and phone calls and keeping up with constituent work and committee meeting. It'll get worse as it goes. So don't ever feel bad if you come in here late. It's almost expected sometimes. One thing that we will do is I'll start on time at 10:15, unless I'm missing, and then hopefully my vice chair, Kelby, Representative Woodard, will start in my absence. But anyway, long story short, we've got one heck of a job ahead of us, as we all know. Whether you consider it a $5.8 billion deficit or a $6.2 billion deficit is really immaterial at this point. Both of them are daunting tasks, and we'll get into a lot of interesting conversations, probably about taxes and no taxes and fees and surcharge and what is a tax and what isn't a tax, and we'll all struggle with how to fund the committee and the state in the way we would want to, you know, from our position. And eventually we'll be working with Chairman Smith, probably. I'm just guessing that we might even end up in conference committee together as one big unit. So we'll see how that works out. The nice thing about this committee is, in the past, I think Representative Mullery will agree with me that, like, sometimes we might be polar opposites on some subjects. We get along, and I consider him a friend, and as of the other DFL members here. And this is one of the most nonpartisan committees that we have. I don't know how it's worked out that way, but it seems like maybe it's just because we face such a huge duty here, and I consider this one of the most important committees. And in the makeup here of all of our committees, I think Representative Smith shares that our job here is a core function of state government, the protection of the public and public safety. And so naturally, we're going to both be screaming for big targets and as we go along here. I don't know when we're going to get budget figures and targets. I have no ideas. If anybody asks right now, I'll try to find that out as soon as possible, naturally, and communicate. And Representative Mullery, I'm sorry about that. We were going to pass the rules by before today. If you see anything that's really egregious in here, let me know. But when we get into the rules, it did come by your office, but you were on probably one of your many duties here organizing like I was. At some point during the process, I don't know how we're going to handle the bills, whether we're going to have a big omnibus policy bill or if we're running through in separate bills or if certain things will have an omnibus flair to it, like if we'll have an omnibus, domestic violence bill and include them all in. That's something that we can work out. Decisions will be made along the way whether we're going to hold a bill over for possible inclusion or pass it on to another committee. I'd like to run this committee generally in a fair and equitable way to both sides, naturally, and I realize that the more fair that I treat the DFL side, the less challenges and motions and all sorts of other things that we'll have, and so it'd be my best interest to make sure everything operates smoothly and give it everybody enough time to speak. And one thing that we get into the rules before I cover anything else, but like laptops and this and that. So why don't we move into our next subject on the agenda in reviewing committee rules, if everybody will take those out of your packet. I already covered I'm not going to read these word for word, but I'm not really fussy about, I wish our technology was better so that we didn't have to turn off our cell phones and pagers. Actually, I kind of like having them on. And have violated that rule quite frequently until somebody catches me at it and then I shut it off. But the problem is when we have our cell phones, especially the new cell phones with all the texting and things, every once in a while you'll hear a brr, brr, brr on the sound system. Everybody will look around and it's usually because somebody has their cell phone on. Unless it gets really overbearing, I don't worry too much about it. But if it gets aggravating to some of you, just check your cell phones and it seems to be the cause of it. I wish our technology was that we had some resistors or something on there that would that we could keep them on, because we almost live off the things. One thing that we really should watch is discussions inside the committee room, especially for the members, but of course they'll change every day, so we'll probably frequently have to announce people to kind of quiet down so we can hear each other. But I have no problem with people whispering to each other, passing notes, but try not to get in a loud conversation with your neighbor. If you have to talk a lot or to somebody that comes down to see you, maybe you could walk outside or something. And the laptops. Why don't I'm not going to treat people in here like children and tell them what they can and can't do. I don't have any problem with coffee or with eating, as long as some food isn't falling out of your face and dropping on the floor or something. But we always had a rule in other committees that if somebody was going to eat something, that they'd bring treats for everybody. But I've always felt coffee is no problem. And laptops, I'm not going to set a rule like you can't bring laptops in. The only thing bad about laptops is it would be nice if you did bring them in, if you could just check. This is probably the only time I'm going to have mine in here, just because I didn't have time to print off my notes, so I had to bring the computer. The only thing aggravating about the laptops is the things that I've seen in the past is you've got some mother testifying and about some tragic accident or something in her family, and if you've got somebody up here typing on the computer not realizing what they're talking about, from one conversation to another, it looks kind of coarse. Or if somebody is talking about an agency that if we cut them, they're going to have to lay off 20 people, and you're still sitting there typing, it just seems kind of hard. And so just use them with good common sense, but I don't want to set a rule that says you can't bring your laptops, because as legislators, we are so absolutely busy that people in the public think it's a part-time job. But as you know now, when you get here, it's really not, and you can't afford to leave these in our office at all the times. The make sure when you send in your let's move back up to the absent and excuse. We don't want to mark anybody absent, so make some attempt to get a hold of the committee administrator if you're going to be absent. If you come in, don't just assume that we see you, make sure that we do, so you don't get marked absence, because it doesn't look good if for either side, if your opponent decides to use it against you in the next election and record all your absences or lack of votes. So just a warning to try to make it done. And if you can't, make sure you make arrangements before you go. The written request for a hearing, make sure you get those in as soon as you get a bill. You folks are expected to contact your own witnesses, and you could really help us out. If you've got a bill coming and you've got witnesses, what we'd like to do this year is coordinate with my staff about your bill and about your witnesses, so you can tell your witnesses, okay, you got a half an hour for your testimony. And try not to bring everybody from hometown and Uncle George and everybody else that wants to say something. And because I felt bad, as you folks have in prior committee meetings, when you have some people testifying and all of a sudden one guy or the mayor will turn around, oh, I got a couple of people from Mays Hardware that would like to say a few words, and then it screws up the whole process. So we'll try to let you know how much time you've gotten, and then if you could let your folks know that are testifying, okay, you got 20 minutes, there's four of you, each get 5 minutes, so we stay right on time. That'd be great. And we'll work with you to try to nail down a good time. In the fiscal notes, and Mr. Carter will probably cover this too when he gives his presentation, but make sure that you've got a fiscal note for the veterans that are here. I could give you advice on, there's been a number of times where we've seen somebody come up with a bill and one of the members will say, what about the fiscal note? And they'll get that deer in the headlights look, and boom, you're delayed your bill a considerable amount of time until your fiscal note comes up, especially this year because of the budget crunch. Every bill that carries a fiscal note is automatically going to be suspect, and one that it should have one and doesn't is going to stand double trouble. So the amendments, try to get it to us, or you have to get it to us in 24 hours, before the hearing. And in the way that we've handled that in the past, we've had the discretion of the chair. If you get a hold of us and tell us why it's not ready, and if it's non-controversial and we look around the table and nobody has a problem with it, then possibly it can be accepted. But for the sake of your bill and the committee staff, please have your amendments in 24 hours ahead of time. Written materials should be able to be provided to the CLA at least 24 hours ahead of time. It really puts makes a real problem for our staff if you don't get them to us, because they have to make copies and put them in each packet. And if we're doing it at the last minute to run around the table, it's just difficult. So if you've got written materials to provide for us, especially on your bills, get them to us. And when I was a lobbyist, I met a senator in the door over there at the Capitol one day, and just for some tips. And it was getting almost into conference committee time and crunch time, and I handed him a 6-page document, and he looked at me and, what was Steve Dill? And he says, in these hours, don't ever give anything to me that's over 1 page. So just a tip, if you can, 1-pagers are great. The less the writing you have, if it's extraneous, is just a problem. So the committee chair will determine the time limits on debates and witnesses' times allowed for bills and amendments. When I'm not going to try to naturally rule with an iron fist and embarrass anybody, but we've all run into the problems where if we don't enforce the time, the first problem it makes is if the testifier isn't aware of it and you cut them off, it goofs up their whole testimony, and then it starts to put a crunch on the people behind them where they get up and da-da-da-da, just a few words. Plus, the people, if you do different times to allow the opposition to the bill and the support of the bill different times, it makes for a real problem. So you let one group of people get up and testify, and you hurry them through and hold them to their time limit, and then if the second bunch gets up there and you allow more leeway, well, then the first people want to come back and want equal time. So I'll try as much as I can to hold each person. We're not going to get up with like we do in our debates when you folks are out campaigning, where they do 1 minute, 30 seconds, 15 seconds, and you're trying to get every word in before you can your sound bites. We'll try to make sure that people know how much and then remind them gently, okay, you want to wrap it up, you know, instead of just boom, you're done, embarrassing. So, in this drill, the veterans already know, but in the folders you see in front of you, if you want something saved, put it in the save folder. It's an important document. I think we're still handling it the same way. Any discarded material, you probably lay it face down up ahead of you, and it'll come along and collect it afterwards. You don't have to take care of your own trash. And, you know, different people might feel different about this, but for our freshman members especially, when I first came on the first year, I wanted to save everything. And within 3 meetings, the save folder was that thick. And so you'll have to sort through that as you will, but what you save and don't save. But try to keep care of your folders, and so things are falling out of them all the time when the pages are trying to handle them. Maybe take some of it back to your committee room and file it there for the future. Is there anything that I didn't cover as far as rules or anything that anybody has any big heartburn with that you've seen? These are pretty much standard pulled from rules from eons ago here, and maybe massaged a little bit. I tried to make them soften up the rules rather than say you shall do this and do this and do that. I don't like a lot of rules in the first place, and ones we have to live by would like to be a little bit flexible. So, all right, anybody? No comments about the rules then? We'll go into the overview of the committee jurisdiction, and Representative Carter, were you going to handle that? I mean, I promoted them already.
Mr. Chair, you shouldn't demean him.
Yeah, really. Mr. Carter.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the title. Did you want me to go through the history first?
Whatever you think would be most beneficial. You've done this before. You go ahead.
We can. In your folders, there is, I just want to comment on this briefly. There is a history of public safety funding, and we just want to, we'll go through this very briefly, and just it'll give you sort of like a benchmark of what's been happening and how the economy affects even the public safety funding. So you'll see in the 90s, basically, there was a budget surplus. I think the commissioner of finance at that time said boatloads of money. There was public safety was funding a lot of pilot programs. Everybody was fairly happy. In 2002, you can see the economy starts turning around. It goes down, and we're starting to see reductions. Those reductions take place in 2003, and then in 2004, the economy starts turning around again. It becomes much better. So in 05, you see a $98 million increase for public safety. 2006, which is a non-budget year, that's the supplemental budget, there was close to a $20 million increase. In 2007, it was a $154 million increase, and that was basically an 8.9% increase over the past biennium. Then the economy, once again, we're seeing the big recession starting to take place in 08, and you're seeing reductions once again. It's starting out at $13.4 million, and in 09 it goes to $52.5 million, and 2010 it's $22.7 million in reductions. As the chairman suggested, that right now the deficit sits at $6.2 billion, and that's billion, not million. And the future of public safety funding, well, that will be determined. Just on some timelines, the budget will, the governor's budget is due the end of February, but since it is a new governor, they give him until the middle of February. And after that, at the end of February, we're going to get the new forecast, and that'll set the tone. That forecast will be the ones that the legislature will be going by. So that's a brief history of some of the public safety funding. Next, I would like to go through the accounts, and I think we can start that off with the spreadsheet. I think everybody has a spreadsheet. By the way, this is sort of like the spreadsheet that we will be using as the committee progresses. And under these agencies, we'll have what are called decision items, and they will either be increases, but I think most of them will be reductions, and then we will have a total. But we'll go through some of the accounts, and public safety is the first account. But I want to first of all go over what we do not have in public safety. Public safety, part of it is in this committee, part of it is in the Transportation Finance Committee. What they have is administration, the State Patrol, driver and vehicle services, traffic safety, and pipeline safety. Now, in this area, in this committee, we have the accounts in public safety are Homeland Security and Emergency Management, the BCA, the Fire Marshal, Gambling and Alcohol Enforcement, and the Office of Justice Programs. This is where a lot of the grants go out for victim services, domestic abuse. Then we have the emergency communication networks. You can see that the total for public safety spending, and by the way, on the spreadsheet, the first of the 2010 and the 11, that's the current spending. And then what we have in 2012, 13, that's the base. So you're going to hear a lot about the base. That's what they're going to start the year at. But public safety is over $350 million for the biennium. On page 2, we have the post board. This is the peace officer board. They have basically 11 full-time equivalents. This is a special revenue fund. The next agency that we have is the private detective board. It's a small board, 1.5 positions there. The fourth one is the human rights department, and it's 40 full-time equivalents. You can see that the total spending there was close to $7 million. And then the big one, the last agency that we have here is Department of Corrections. This is going to make up 72% of the budget. So when you're, saying where you should be spending a lot of time, it's probably going to be mainly corrections here because it's such a large part of the budget. And they have three programs in corrections. They have the institutions, that's the 8 adult prisons and the 2 juvenile facilities. Then they have community services, that's where we have the probation is funded out of, and some other areas, jail inspections, things like that. Then we have operations support. So a total of corrections for the biennium is close to $1 billion. And you can see the totals for all of this public safety committee is about $1.3 billion. And I should point out that public safety, and I'm going to include the courts on this, the last figure that I had, total public safety, including courts, is about 5.2% of the general fund budget. And, Mr. Chair, if I may, I think we were talking to the chair, we're going to be doing things a little differently. In your packet, too, I think next week we are hearing from the Department of Human Rights and the BCA to give some overviews. But what the committee administrator put in the packet is some information about each. And you also have, for the BCA and Human Rights, information that's coming from the budget books. You may want to read that for the next committee meeting, come up with questions, and if you have questions, I can answer them before, or you can bring them up to the agency. But it gives you a good overview, especially for the newer members, of what's going on, and there's also a little budget page there, too. So I think, Mr. Chair, I will stand for questions, or go on.
Just maybe talk a little bit about this, so it's not such a surprise when they get it, the budget book that we'll be looking through, and just kind of a brief description of what will be in there and what to look forward to.
Yes, well, the budget book is going to be, we can maybe start off with like the BCA. These are the budget books that come out from MMB, that's Minnesota Management, what used to be known as the Finance Department, and they're going to give you a little overview of what the agency does. It's going to be, they're going to give you an activity at a glance. They're going to show you, tell you the activity, a little description. They're going to talk about maybe the population that's being served, also what services they're providing. It's also going to have a little historical perspective in there. And then they should be including some key activity goals and measures. This is part of the governor's performance budgeting, where they should be including some of this in the budget books. And then you're going to have the talk about the activity funding. You're going to have some what they used to call pretty pages, but it's the numbers pages, and that's going to go over what the funding is for what the current funding is, and also what the forecast funding is. Once we get the governor's budget, we're going to have change items in there included in the governor's budget. In other words, if the governor is funding a pilot program, they will have a separate page on that. Or I think in most cases, we may be seeing reductions, so they will the change pages will address what the reductions are doing, how much they are, and what impact they have. Also in the budget books, you're going to have a listing of grants that are handed out, and also the big thing for this committee, too, is federal funds that will come in. That's basically the budget pages. You almost have to go through those, read some, you know, go through them, and they're somewhat complicated. Some members complain there's too little information. Other members say there's too much information. But I should also point out that if you want more information from the agencies, as far as the budget is concerned, you can contact staff, and we can see what we can do for that. It's going to be a very important issue.
Mr. Carger, did you want to describe just what some of these abbreviations stand for, or do you rather want to wait till we actually go through?
We have there's different funds. The main fund that we have here in the committee is we general funds make up the bulk of our appropriations. These are direct appropriations. In other words, we will be appropriating those. We have some special revenue funds. We have some environmental funds. And we even have some trunk highway funds, and last year we had some federal funds. And I can give you a brief description. I can write up when we go through the agencies. The agencies can inform you where those funds are coming from and what they're being used for.
Okay, thank you. brings us about to the end of our agenda. I would ask if anybody has any comments, especially our lead Representative Mullery, if you had any comments before we bring it to a close here.
No, Mr. Chair.
Anybody else? Okay, when's our next meeting? It's
Thursday.
January 13th. At same time, same place. And I don't know. I will probably start out with agency overviews, and we've had a little problem with some of them being gone or not being able. So we're going to fit in what we can, and we'll go on that way for a while until we actually start in to get into bills and eventually line by line in the budget. So,
Mr. Chair,
yeah, Representative Mullery.
Some people were asking, what with the combining of policy and finance, are there going to be still two or three deadlines, or have you heard that yet? Or some people were wondering if they were going to combine them into one.
I don't know yet. I'll get that answer for you as soon as I can. And then, it's going to be kind of funny dealing with the Senate, too. I've heard some rumbling from them that they've got less time than we do, and we're going to have to blend how much policy we want to do or are able to do along with the finance. So personally, there's a number of policy items that I really would love to and need to work on. I don't want to abandon it just to fix the budget. So I'll try to blend the right amount of two. And I'll get I would love to know the deadline just as bad as you would. So as soon as we have information on that, I'll get it to you. Okay, thank you, members, and I'll see you next meeting. And come to a close. Yeah.